We're going to pick up right where we left off, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's actually too much going on in this scripture passage. There's just too much. We've made it into a banner that flies at baseball and football and basketball. I've never seen it at a hockey game. You know, we've made it into a quick one-liner. We have turned the conversation with Nicodemus into a litmus test for faith. Are you born again? And I happen to think there's way more than that going on in this passage. You've got Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is a high mucky-muck in the church, in the temple, in the synagogue. And so he's going to see Jesus. Now, he's going in the middle of the night, and often we make that interpretation that that's because he doesn't want anybody to see him going. Maybe true. I'm going to ask, particularly the adults out there, when you snuck out after dark, why was it? How often was it to go see Jesus? Was it a little bit more forbidden fruit? A little bit more something you've been told not to do, perhaps? Under the cover of darkness, we do the things we're not supposed to do, right? Nicodemus is probably not supposed to go talk to Jesus. It's probably against the union rules or something. But he still goes. There is something that drives him, something that compels him to go see Jesus. It never really tells us what that is in John's gospel. We only get introduced to Nicodemus again at the very end of Jesus' life. He plays a role in two scenes in the gospel, and that's it. But man, what scenes does he play a role in? I'm going to get back to that question I asked the kids because we asked it for a reason. Who do you open the door to after dark? Or, perhaps a more modern version, who do you answer when they're calling on your cell phone after 11 p.m.? How many numbers that aren't already programmed into your phone do you answer? Not a whole lot, right? I mean, if it's that lady from the resorts again, or there's a problem with my credit card somewhere. Who do you open the door to when it's dark? Is one of these faith questions. There's another one that is really applicable to this congregation after this week. When it's dark, who do you go see? Who do you need to see when it's dark? Talk a lot about the dark night of the soul. Who do you need to see when it's dark? I think this passage and the way we've co-opted it in the sound bites really does Nicodemus and God a disservice. Because there is something there in deep yearning for Nicodemus, that he doesn't want the theological doctrinal party line. He wants something real. So he goes, and he bangs on the door. Can you imagine this? I mean, think about it. I don't even like to see the UPS guy after dark the week before Christmas. Right? Who do you want to see banging on your door after dark? The list is pretty short, right? Now, beyond who do you want to see banging on your door after dark, who do you actually let in? Jesus lets Nicodemus in. They proceed to talk theology. That's never been why I snuck out after dark, just for the record. Nicodemus gets very, very confused. He gets berated a little bit about Jesus. How are you, one of the teachers of Israel, and you don't even get this silly, simple stuff? And we get the next sound bite about God so loved the world. The lectionary folks did something really interesting today, is they paired this 22 verses in John's gospel with the verses of Psalm 139 that were your call to worship today. And that got me thinking differently, because there is an intimacy in Psalm 139. It is graphic in intimacy. It is both comforting and terrifying and tear-jerking, depending on where you are with things. I knit you together in the womb. I knew you when you were hidden. I knew you when you came to me in the middle of the night, confused about the kingdom of God. I knew you when you came to me in the middle of a horrible, no good, very bad week, or day, or hour, or minute. It would be so much more in character for us to yell, "Go away, we're closed," to the Nicodemuses of the world. But that is not what God does. And I think there's something important about that. I think there's something incredibly important that the one we call Emmanuel, God with us, chooses to open the door in the middle of the night. Less because it says something about us, and more because it says something about God. If for just a moment we could get rid of the last 200 years of church theology and history and throw out John 3:16 signs and the question about, have you been born again? Can you hear this passage as a God who receives a man struggling with his faith in the middle of the night, afraid he might lose his job, his family, and his friends? And recognize how amazing that is. Nicodemus, this is his first appearance on the gospel stage. His second appearance is on Good Friday. He's a chief priest. He's significant. He's religiously important. It is the Friday of the Passover. And what does he want? Do you guys remember that part of the story? What does he want? He wants the dead body of Jesus. He wants to see Jesus buried more than he wants to be ritually clean and pure for the celebration of the Passover. That is one heck of an intimate act. To take somebody's body, prepare it for burial, begin to prepare it for burial at the cost of your day job. And as far as we know, this passage in John 3 is the only encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. The only one. Jesus kind of berates him a little bit. But before that happens, Jesus opens the door. I think that's really important. I think that's really important for a church like us that has a lot of people this week feeling dark, to know that Jesus opens the door in the dark. I think it's really important for us as a church to realize that as we attempt to follow Christ, opening the door in the dark, that simple act may be what gets Nicodemus to the foot of the cross asking for the body. It doesn't seem like this thing that happens in John 3 should be that big a deal. We've actually like almost wiped Nicodemus out of our theological narrative about it. We're down to a litmus test. Are you born again? And we're down to something that you can hold up and 100,000 people can see it. That's it. What about Nicodemus? I believe that the intimacy that Jesus shows by letting somebody in after dark and dealing with him, having a conversation, when paired with that image we get in Psalm 139 of a God who knits us together in the womb, tells us more about God, the God we place our faith in, than the answer to the question, are you born again? And I would challenge us to spend less time on that question and more time on opening doors in the dark. Because I think opening the door changes everything for Nicodemus, and if we're being honest, for a lot of us. So friends, don't be too grouchy when they bang on the door or when the cell phone rings in the middle of the night. And to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.